Today on Real Radio.
But because he was perfect, death could not keep him. Death went around. When Jesus was dying on the cross, and he, by the way, another act of divinity, he says, "It's finished."
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called You Need to Know. For the first few lessons in this series, our chief text will be Romans 13:11, though we'll be exploring a lot of different passages. Now, if you're a true believer, then knowing what you believe and why is critical. The good news? Our Lord speaks to us through His Word. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called You Need to Know, all about the revelation of God.
The Bible says that the God of the Bible is spirit. It means that he does not have a physical existence. He's able to transverse or pass through the physical realm of his created universe. But the God of the Bible teaches that God is spirit, and Jesus, of course, announces that. Being a spirit, he's non-physical. He's totally transcendent. He is beyond and outside of his creation. It is subservient to him. And listen, this is fun, that he's beyond human comprehension or human rationale, the God of the Bible. Why do I say that? Because the God of all the cults can be explained very thoroughly by the cult member. You and I cannot do that about our God. You see, Jack, you're not winning the case for us, are you? I am. Because our God in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, has chosen to reveal what you and I need to know. It will take you and I all time and eternity to find out the fine prints, the blueprints about his love, about his compassion, about his grace, about his goodness. Can you imagine? Can you? You know, what am I asking you for? You can't imagine. It's beyond your ability to comprehend. The Bible says that the God of the Bible reveals enough to you to know why you need him and how much he loves you, but what's reserved are things so great, so vast, that with our brain, I'm not knocking any of you, I'm sure you're a very clever person, but with our brain capacity and with our ability to think, God doesn't even waste his breath telling us, because we couldn't comprehend that. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the minds of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's called heaven, eternity. It's going to be awesome for the believer. Keep this in mind. Absolutely glorious. That the fact in Isaiah 57:15, this is what God says about himself. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Listen, God, where do you live? Eternity. Where's that? It's everywhere, it's forever, it's not only encompasses where you're at, Jack, but it goes beyond the bookends of time and space and physics. Eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, says God of himself. He's revealing himself to us, and he's saying, I dwell in a place beyond what you can ever imagine. You're bound to the physical universe. We say things like, where do you live, on Mars or the moon? Do you live in New York? Do you live in Hong Kong? God says, listen, God is able to say this of himself. The answer to that is yes and beyond. And listen, when you guys send your spaceships out and they go through space and they go past everything else and they come to the end, think of this. Are you with me? Yes. The physical universe has a limit. You don't think like this often. In a galaxy far, far away, 50 quadrillion zillion light years from now. I don't care what number you put on it. God is not only in this time and space of ours, which he's created, but to him, the Bible flirts with us and says, it's as though it's in the hollow of his hand. He's on the other side. So if that spaceship comes to the end of the physical universe and hits a wall, can you imagine? Shh, boom, 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 boom. God's on the other side looking at it. Look at those little humans. They sent a little spaceship out here. He's on the other side where there's no physics. Everything that is physical, God has created. He dwells where there's non-physical because he is spirit. So when somebody says, do you believe in God? Your answer is, yes, I believe in the God of the Bible who is spirit. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought you believed in Jesus. I do. Well, he's not spirit. He was a baby born in Bethlehem. That's true. And you have to come back next week to get that answer. There's no contradiction. There's revelation. God, who is spirit and all eternal, because he loves you, came from his place and inserted himself into this physical universe and came into this world just like you and I did to speak to us, to announce to us, to show us, then to die for us and to be resurrected from the dead. Everything for us that we might be with him in that ageless, timeless space called heaven that has no limits and has no end. So the first thing we see here that you need to know is this, that God is the Lord God. Unlike any other God of all of the religions and cults of the world, the Bible says that the God of the Bible is the Lord God. And what do we mean by that? This is foundational and fundamental to Christianity. The Bible uses the word Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D. When you see that in the Bible, you're looking at the word Adonai, or in the Greek, Kyrios. In the New Testament, Adonai in the Old Testament, Kyrios in the New Testament Greek. What does that mean? It means that God is the master in relation to his servants or his servant creation. God is master. The Bible says over and over again that he's master. Now watch this. Concerning Jesus' coming, Jesus, you've read your Bible, Jesus was obedient to the Father. Was he not, ladies and gentlemen? Was he not? The Bible says that Jesus obeyed his Father. The Bible says that Jesus was obedient to the point of death. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Remember that? How could Jesus say that if he's 100% God? He was and is 100% God. He's equal to the Holy Spirit. He's equal to the Father. Then why did he say that? Because Jesus, in his incarnation, became man just like you and I are man, yet without sin. Why? So that we would be saved. He didn't send a giraffe. He didn't send a monkey to die for our sins. He didn't send an animal to die. An angel. He didn't send an angel to die for your sins. Why? No one can die for your sins except a perfect human who represents our plight. The only problem is we've looked around, checked all of our pockets, looked underneath every couch, every chair, and we can't find a perfect human. Ladies, all know in this church, it's hard enough to find a good man. How can you find a perfect human? The best person on earth that's ever lived is imperfect. And because you've been created in the image of God, God came and took upon himself the form and the existence of a human being. That's why in theological study, Jesus is 100% God, which he always has been, is, and shall be, and he's 100% man, having become that in the conception in the womb of Mary. God inserted himself in mankind. And so Jesus calls, during his earthly life, his Father, Lord. Why? Because Jesus was the servant for mankind's salvation. Are you with me? He was no less than. He took the place of a servant. See, you and I choose to take the place of a servant by either obeying and serving the Lord Jesus Christ or obeying and serving this world. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen. We're all servants. Remember Bob Dylan? You got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. It might be the devil. It might be the Lord. But you got to serve somebody. Remember that? You remember that song? In Dylan 1:1, he got it right. That's right. You got to serve somebody. You are serving somebody. And Jesus comes as our example, as the manifestation of what the perfect man would live like, even though none of us can be, and all of our hope and faith is placed upon his merits. He meets the demands. Not only that, it's not that he just met all the demands. Jesus, listen, before he died on the cross, He could look the law right in the face. Can you imagine if Moses would have been in the Garden of Gethsemane that day? Jesus could have walked up to Moses and said right to him, hey, remember all that law you're trying to keep? Remember writing that down, those tablets? I did it. In this skin, I did it. And you know what Moses with the Ten Commandments would have had to have done? He would have had to have bowed. He had to have bowed. And what, listen, that's not all he did. Then Jesus says, okay, I got some more work to do. He rolls up his sleeves, so to speak, and he goes to the cross because that's where you and I were supposed to go. But because he was perfect, death could not keep him. Death, as it were, allow me to put it in your mind's eye this way. Death went around. When Jesus was dying on the cross, and he, by the way, another act of divinity, he says, it's finished. Wow. Can you imagine dying in the hospital bed? You would never say, it's finished. You'd say, I'm finished. Jesus didn't say, I'm finished. Jesus says, it's finished. And the Bible says, with that, he dismissed his spirit. I will never do that. I'm going to die when my body dies. Jesus says, I'm done now. Coming home. And he dismisses his spirit. How cool is that? Is that the Jesus you know? Is that the Jesus that you can define is your Lord and Savior? Because that's the biblical Jesus. I know it's not the Muslim Jesus. It's not the Hindu Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins, that makes him not the Mormon Jesus. The Jesus who is God incarnate, now we know, is not the Jehovah Witnesses Jesus. This is from their teachings. But the Bible, the biblical Jesus, the Jesus that saves, is the Jesus that I'm describing to you from Scripture. He's the Lord. And then there's the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Whenever you see that in the Bible, I love it. I always circle it in my Bible. Oh, man, the Tetragrammaton. Circle it. Yahweh or Yahweh. This is the name of God. Remember, God is a title. That's not his name. What's your name? God. That's not a name. God is a title. If somebody says, what's your name? Pastor. That's not my name. People will ask me when they meet me, what do we call you? Jack. It's my name. God doesn't say, call me God. I kind of need to hear it. No, he doesn't. He is God. No one needs to convince him. Listen, are you sitting down? Are you listening? He is the only God that is. He is the only God among all the idol gods of the universe that says, and this is my name. My name is Yah. We would say Yehovah or Yahweh. The God of the Bible says, I am God and this is my name. My name is Yah. The word Yah is root to the word salvation. His name is, in a sense, I save. I save. That's my nature. Isn't that awesome? I want you to know me, your God, and I'm going to tell you my name. He's knowable. We'll get into that in a few weeks, I think. But anyway, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, the God who made you, Paul is speaking, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built with human hands. He's announcing to the Athenians all their various gods. And Paul says, not the God I worship. All these gods bow down, fall down at the name of my God, Yah. Psalm 103, get ready to write these down. This is fun stuff. The word Yahweh, or the name Yahweh, by the way, technically means the one who is self-existent, self-eternal, self-contained. He is the God who saves. He is altogether self-existing. That means he exists timelessly without any limitation. He has always been. You know, in a few weeks we'll get into this about him not being created or the uncreated God. A lot of people are talking about this today. That We don't believe in God because if God created everything, then who created your God who created everything? And if you don't think much, that sounds like a good challenge. But that question that you're hearing on the college campus today, oh yeah, I can't believe in that because who created your creator? How many times do we have to tell you? We don't worship idols. Idols are made by the hands of man. We worship an uncreated God. He's eternal. And in that, he saves. You want some more verses about this name of his? Yah, Psalm 68:4. Sing to God, sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. How beautiful is that? Now, we come to this next point about our God. You need to know the fact that the God of the Bible is the omniscient God, that he is God, the omniscient God. It means he absolutely knows everything. The word omniscience is that he knows all. The Bible teaches over and over again that God knows everything. You might want to write this down because it's a whole lot of fun. In the study of God, which is theology, theo is God, and ology is words, or words of God, or words about God, or the study of God, or you can say the science of studying God, theology. Check this out. In theology, the God of the Bible, his nature is revealed in the scriptures. And this is fun. Listen, I'm not making this up. That part of his characteristics is in him being all-knowing is that he knows all things that are going to happen. In fact, for that matter, he knows all things that's happened, all things happening. Listen, all things that are going to happen. And if that doesn't blow your mind, like, for example, what are you going to do today? What's going to happen? What parking spot are you going to go to park in? What's the next thing on the headlines of the news? He already knows all that. Isn't that wild? Now watch this. He not only knows that, but imagine yourself driving down a road and you come to a split in the road. There's a Y. And you have to decide. And you go, I'm going to go left. And you go left. And at the end of the road is a rainbow and a pot of gold. And you say, whew, thank God I made the right decision. I wonder what would happen if I would have turned right. God already knows what would have happened. You say, no, okay, now you're freaking me out. But I didn't turn to the right. I went to the left. That's right. But what if I wouldn't have went to the right? He would have known. That's right. He not only knows things that actually happened or is happening or shall happen, he knows things. This ought to fry your brain a moment. He knows things that if certain decisions would have been made a certain way and the outcome would have been different, he knows that too, even though it never actually happened. That's big. That ought to challenge your pity party of regrets. Or maybe you're sitting down right now and you're thinking, well, that person I married sitting next to me, I think I made the wrong decision. And I think, oh, well, and you know, they, stop, stop, stop. God knows all things. Trust him. If your marriage needs fixing, fix it. But don't stand around and point fingers. Just get it fixed. Trusting that God, if he knows everything, and we know him right now, then he's on our side. This can get worked out. God is all-knowing. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. By the way, remember, Jesus in personification is the word of God, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit. God knows your motives. I don't even know my motive. You don't know yours either. God knows our motives. Isn't that amazing? And the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. There'll be a day when I have to stand before God, and his eyes will look through me and know even my motives. why I said what I said, why did I do this, what was behind me walking the little old lady from Pasadena across the street? Was it to get my face in the paper? Was it to have her think highly of me? Why did you put that money in the offering when you're thinking, oh man, oh, this is going to kill me. I can't believe it. And then you smile and put a nickel in the offering. What are you doing? God knows the motive. God would say, take it back. That's all fake. Think of it. The motive. You and I don't even know our motives. Why we do what we do? God knows the deep recesses of the truth of that. Why do we say what we say? Why do we look the way that we look? What are we trying to do? God knows. Does that kind of terrify you in a moment? For a moment? It terrifies me too. Do you see how much we need him? Yes. He knows everything. You might be here today saying, I don't believe in God. This is a bunch of baloney and all this kind of. I know. I used to be like you. But just know this. He's listening to every word you're saying as you spout off against him. And you know what's amazing? He still puts up with you. Nobody else will put up with you. But he's still putting up with you. The mouth that you're cursing him with, he gave you the mouth. Can you imagine if he just said, you know, I'm kind of tired of hearing this. And he takes your lips off. Could you imagine? I want those lips back. Can you imagine? The fist that is shaking at God. He made that fist. He gave you that fist. And there's going to be a day when he's going to require those things back. And he's going to ask you, what did you do with all the stuff I gave you? What stuff? Your toes, eyeballs, nose, face. Your very existence. No matter what condition you're in, your very existence. I had a plan for your life. I was born maimed and crippled, and I had an existence for your life. You would never think of me. You would never call out to me. You shook your fist at me. I had a plan for you, and all you did was resist me. He's the eternal God. He's the all-knowing God. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Psalm 139:1. Psalm 139 is one of the most wonderful psalms in the entire Bible. Listen to this. Psalm 139:1. Written before they had, by the way, microscopes and all that stuff. O Lord, O Yah, you have searched me and known me. You have known my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. Isn't that wild? Before the thought hits your head, God knows it's coming.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know, all about the revelation of God. It's a look at some scripture passages that give us insight into the fundamental tenets of our faith. It's part of Pastor Jack's topical series called You Need to Know, and we'll continue with more of You Need to Know on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just wrapped up Pastor Jack's fascinating collection of studies through 2 Corinthians. And since we've had a whole lot of Real Radio listeners calling in, emailing, and asking about it, we've decided to extend an offer. Get this. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you all the MP3s of the entire series on one USB drive. Let me say that again. We'll send you all the MP3s of the entire series of 2 Corinthians all on one USB drive for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Call, click, or write. Just mention it by name. 2 Corinthians on a USB drive. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.